Great music. Great content. Rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM. Positive soul music.
Hey, I hear you won the chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and we are in a new month. It's always a privilege to come your way. We thank God for seeing us through the first 2 months of the year. And I trust that this month is going to be a good one, and the mercies and the grace and the favor of the Lord will be our portion. Last week, I was talking about the prayer. Last week and last 2 weeks, you know, the prayer conference that took place. We had it at Oasis of Love, and it was a blessing. So last week, I spoke about it extensively, and I believe those who were able to come were blessed. And this evening, I'll be talking about something a bit different because of some things I'm seeing happening, and so I'll be talking a bit about it. But first, let's listen to this song, and I will come back.
Yeah.
beautiful song, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A beautiful song by Philip, Craig, and Dean. All right, so welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM, the program Issues of Life. Let's get into some news happenings in the week. And, you know, the world is just something else now. I mean, it's you see how things are happening, and it should give you a cause of concern in terms of where is the world headed and what time are we in, what times are we in. All right, we have this first headline that says, Defense Secretary, that's the U.S. Defense Secretary, warns war between NATO and Russia will become inevitable if Ukraine falls and Putin is not stopped. So the NATO could be dragged into a war with Russia if Vladimir Putin's forces are not stopped in Ukraine, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin warned. Speaking at a Republican-led House Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday, Thursday 29th, February, Austin said he believes Putin will not stop if Ukraine falls and Russia wins the war. This would mean NATO will almost certainly be drawn into conflict if Kiev is defeated by Moscow's forces, he added. Austin told committee members, we know that if Putin is successful here, he will not stop. He will continue to take more aggressive action in the region. Okay, wars and rumors of wars. Then we have this one. Putin gives the West a new warning that sending troops to Ukraine could lead to nuclear war. Russian President Vladimir Putin warned the West on the risk of nuclear war if they send their own troops to fight for Ukraine, saying Moscow had the weapons to strike Western targets. In his annual State of the Nation address on Thursday, Putin said claims that Russia intends to attack Europe are nonsense, but warned that his country might strike Western countries with nuclear weapons. Putin referenced the idea floated by French President Emmanuel Macron, who on Monday said the possibility of sending Western troops to Ukraine cannot be ruled out. Several European leaders swiftly rejected the suggestion. Everything that they are coming up with now, with which they threaten the entire world, all this really threatens a conflict with the use of nuclear weapons and therefore the destruction of civilization. Don't they understand this or what? Putin said. They must ultimately understand that we also have weapons and they know about it. Just as I now said, we also have weapons that can hit targets on their territory, he warned. Putin has raised the nuclear specter on several occasions since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine more than 2 years ago. Russia transferred tactical nuclear weapons to neighboring Belarus last year, and CNN reported this month that Russia is attempting to develop a nuclear space weapon that could destroy satellites. Space wars. Interesting times. All right, then we have Iran just gave the green light for Hezbollah to attack Israel. So Iran has given Lebanese terror organization Hezbollah the green light to escalate its attacks along Israel's northern border, the Arabic Post reported on Wednesday, citing high-level Iranian and Lebanese sources. The Islamic Republic has reportedly set conditions for Hezbollah, ordering it to launch a large-scale attack on Israel only after it had become certain of Israel's intention to invade the southern Gaza city of Rafah. As per the report, Tehran gave the go-ahead amid fears that after the IDF completes an invasion of Rafah, southern Lebanon will be next. A source from Iran's Revolutionary Guards told Arabic Post that Ismail Kani, the IRGC's Quds Force commander, visited Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah on Monday to discuss the latest developments along Israel's northern border. All right, enough of the wars and the rumors of wars and all that. You know, for instance, the Yemen rebels, the Houthi rebels, they've sunk the ship, an oil ship, oil tanker. I mean, as of this afternoon, the ship was going down. So they are becoming more ruthless. And see, they are a proxy of Iran. So as a result of this Israeli war. So the tension in the Middle East, there's no end in sight. And some of these things can become something much bigger. But, well, we just hope it doesn't get into such instances. Because when it comes to the oil tanker, for instance, when the attacks keeps going on, it's going to affect crude prices. And when crude prices go up, you and all, we all, I mean, get affected by it, by price of fuel going up here in the country, which can escalate into transports and increment fares and food prices. So some of these things, it may look far away, but the consequences can have ripple effects across the world. All right. I mean, a little entertainment news, but it's quite serious, and I think people should also have some of this background information. You might have heard of this lady, Taylor Swift, too. I mean, now she's a trending singer in the U.S. and across the world. But, you know, I mean, of course, not a gospel singer, so, I mean, I don't even know any of her songs. If I hear it, I don't know which song, I mean, these are songs. But when I look at the way she's able to pull crowds, fill stadia and all that, and her demeanor and all, I was chatting with a friend. I told her that this girl, clearly, I mean, the spirit she's operating with is purely along witchcraft lines. So when I saw this, I wasn't surprised. This headline says, Taylor Swift engaging in satanic rituals in live shows. And a Christian artist claims that the music is dangerous. So let's just read excerpts of it. It says, former Boyzone star Shane Lynch has accused pop star Taylor Swift of engaging in demonic practices and satanic rituals during her sold-out shows, and warned of the damaging effects such music has on children. Not only children, adults as well. Because I'll read the next news item, a summary of it. You can see the impact it has on adults. Quote, I think when you are looking at a lot of the artists out there, a lot of their stage shows are satanic rituals live in front of 20,000 people without them realizing and recognizing. Unquote. Lynch recently told Iceland's Sunday World. You see a lot of hoods up and masks on and fire ceremonies, even down to Taylor Swift, one of the biggest artists in the world. You watch one of her shows and she has two or three different demonic rituals to do with the pentagrams on the ground, to do with all sorts of stuff on her stage. But to a lot of people, it's just art, and that's how people are seeing it, unfortunately. The 47-year-old Irish singer said, there's a lot of hidden satanic messaging in music today, yet most listeners are oblivious to it. When it comes to a lot of the music that's out there at the moment, more of the hip-hop side of things, there's a lot of hidden satanic and a lot of evil within them, including down to the beats. It's very real, he said. Music attaches to your emotions, Lynch added. It has a connection to your spirit and how you feel. That's why I've stopped listening to those types of music myself, because it doesn't suit my spirit. Lynch, a father of two and a professing Christian, warned that certain music is damaging to the society in general, and especially children. It 100% has an effect on society. I think our society has never been worse in many years, and it starts from our children, he said. It's coming in right at our children from the very beginning to get them to sway away from anything godly, anything controlled or disciplined. It's getting wilder and wilder out there for a reason. Music is dangerous. Swift, 34 years, has previously been accused of promoting demonic activity through her music. In her 2020 Willow music video, she is shown observing an occult ritual, and previously said the song sounds like casting a spell to someone, fall in love with you, and on and on. Serious. The next headline I'm talking about, this happened last year, where the headline was Taylor Swift fancy they are suffering from post-concert amnesia after getting too excited during the singer's shows. So what happens is they go to the concert, not all of course, but some are reporting that they go to the, after the concert, they come out and it's like they don't remember anything. So it's like they were hypnotized whilst in the concert with the excitement and the screams and all that. I mean, this is clearly demonic. The scientists will find a reason and it's, whatever for it. But you and I should understand some of these things. I mean, it is demonic. So you see, they are hypnotized. And as such, the atmosphere is a purely demonic atmosphere. They are hypnotized. They don't even know what is happening, what they are engaging in. I mean, and when I saw this, I said, wow, they're serious. So it's like amnesia, or forgetfulness. They've just forgotten what happened when they come out of the stadium. And clearly, this is a clear signal. All right, and now to parents out there. New satanic Amazon Prime cartoon called Has-Been Hotel sparks outrage and protest. More content coming out of Hollywood is being called out for mocking God and Christianity to promote sympathy for the devil. Has-Been Hotel, an adult cartoon streaming on Amazon Prime, depicts Lucifer and Adam's mythical first wife Lilith as the couple running the title establishment. The trailer Prime released on social media does a tidy and complete job of expressing the tone and slants of the series. In it, Satan is described as a dreamer of Satan is described having fantastical ideas for all of creation, whilst angels are considered heartless and unfair, but he was seen as a troublemaker by the elders of heaven, for they felt this way of thinking was dangerous in order to save the world. I mean, so this on and on. So they've done this cartoon. You see, I bring out some of these warnings because, you see, the networks in Ghana, some of the networks in Ghana, just pick content from the US and they just show it here without doing any reviews of any sort. So they just dump it on our TV screens in Ghana, our networks, and they just show it. I mean, they are just looking for content. So when they get, they just show. And parents have to be aware because, you see, because there's no proper review of these things, all sorts of dangerous contents filtering to our system. And I remember seeing one, I've seen a few in which you can see plain witchcraft being taught in cartoons and all that. This is all, you know, Media Commission is really, really not doing a good job when it comes to these things. The last time they said they've had a media center now that they can monitor and all, but I mean, you still see contents which are not worthy for children at times, which clearly, but you know, in Ghana, anything goes. So, but it's very unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate because it's dangerous that parents just allow their children to watch, some parents, of course, any content on the TV without any regulation. So they come from school, so the parents will come, they watch all sorts of cartoons on various channels, they're changing channels in some homes. That's what the children are exposed to. So parents have to be aware about some of these cartoons, which, you know, last week I was talking about this programming of the children issue where, you know, they are very fixated and very serious about the content they push to children now, because now they know, they've known it for years, but now they've seen the success, I mean, of this agenda that, you know, whatever you program the child by 8-7, I mean, the impact is very great. So now they are doing everything to ensure that they're able to catch them young by 8-7. So from 0 to 7, the content is being manipulated in ways to program the child. He says, oh, that's how come now you can have children as young as 4, 5, 6, I mean, demanding to change their gender and all that, because it's about the programming. The content has been able to, depending on where they were picking it from, school or from the TV or whatever, cartoons, it's been able to program them to now see the need to change their gender. And some of these things, I mean, it looks far-fetched that, oh, as for Ghana, we are, but so far as we are having some of these contents on some of our TV networks, parents should beware. And at long last, they were able to pass the anti-LGBTQ bill in our parliament. And it's been almost every major news network has reported it in the world. And it's like, wow. I mean, we're so if I'm hoping. I mean, I just can't understand how these, I mean, governments out there think they can control and manipulate us. I mean, this afternoon I saw the IMF statement. It's like, IMF, fine, we've come to borrow your money. That one too, now they are complaining that their policy is against these things. And if you are giving us money, give us the money and then we go. But as to what we do with our cultural values, that one too, now your conditions are coming in. So, you know, the way the governments are talking, the US government, the other governments, it's like they want us to do how they are misbehaving in their countries. Ghana too should be like that. So Ghana Parliament has passed this bill. You know, let me just read how this is, I think ABC News, they wrote it this way. Ghana's Parliament passes controversial new anti-LGBTQ bill. Ghana's Parliament has passed the bill following months of debates that could make it illegal to identify as a citizen of the LGBTQ in the West African nation. The bill, named Human Sexuality Rights and Family Values Bill, was passed by the National Legislature on Wednesday in an unanimous vote by the lawmakers. The proposed law, which was sent to ABC News, states that it aims to provide for proper human sexual rights and Ghanaian family values. It now awaits being signed into law by the Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo. Whether he will sign or not. Now the pressure, GPCC has issued a warning that he has to sign. human rights groups, Shraj and all, to some say they are heading towards the Supreme Court. I mean, it's going to be a big deal this year, because, you know, if the government, if the president doesn't sign it, then the church is going to rise up against, you know, an election year. You know, governments really want to look good in the sight of the populace. So I wonder how this government and IMF also now coughing behind the scenes. we are going, preparing to go for the third tranche. I just wonder how they will go through this whole season of... All right, so continue the ABC News. It says, the bill is one of the harshest of its kind in Africa, and if signed into law, it could see people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, pansexual, non-binary, queer, whatever, or any other sexual or gender identity that is contrary to the binary categories of male and female, sentenced to up to 3 years in prison. Those found guilty of the promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ activities could also face a prison sentence of up to 5 years in prison. And what is difficult about this? Don't promote it. Don't sponsor it. Don't support it, the activities in public. I mean, what is difficult about this that the whites just cannot understand it? I mean, I heard Sam George, the main proponent or the one who pushed the bill in the first place and got supporters and all on it, said that they don't really care about what individuals do in their privacy. I mean, that's not their concern in terms of what people do behind their closed doors. But to come out and be openly supporting it and sponsoring programs behind the scenes and encouraging students and all these things, this is what the law is really targeting. It's not fighting people who are doing it in their privacy. No one knows about it. Well, that one is the cup of tea. No one is coming after you. But if you go and sit on a radio station or you do open gay party and all, that is what the law is protecting, like fighting against. But, you know, these whites, they have their agenda, so they will just make all the noises. And but, well, me, I'm sitting quietly here in Ghana. It's the government leaders, and they are the ones who are going to face the brunt of these threats and the warnings, the pressures from US, UN, BBUK, and all. I mean, they're just going to put all the pressure on the government that the president shouldn't sign it. And I'll not be surprised that by now he started receiving phone calls. Oh, this world. I mean, I never envisaged we'll get to a point where something that is openly evil can be so championed by some people without any shame. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But that's the world we are in. You know, we have to understand the times. The wind that is blowing is just, people just don't care. It's a godless wind. They are just anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Christ. Anything godly related, they just hate it. They don't care about it. They just hate it. And that's exactly what we are seeing. And you see, it makes it also important that we then who believe in God, in Christ, as believers, should also know that the times that we are in demand that we become more serious with our worship of Him and our beliefs and how we live. I'll be back after this brief break.
Chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, it did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is. You're late for an interview. And
wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask Him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Of our weakness, and we will proclaim your victory over hell and death. When we face adversity, we will remember that you are our strength, O God. You are our strong tower. And because of that, O Lord, we will not be afraid.
You, Lord, are a strong foundation.
We will not be afraid.
When the storm comes, we will not be shaken. For by your hand we are saved.
Welcome back. Spirit 88.3 FM, Sure Foundation, Bob Fitz of the Hosanna Music. All right. You know, if you look at the trend of the way the world is going, like I just read Putin threatening nuclear war and all that, and the way the church has become, you know, the church is becoming more godless, no fear of God, and the decline in spirituality, holiness, the church is becoming more carnal than it's ever been. You know, you realize something is just not right spiritually. But then I remember 10 years ago, I read this prophecy here on this program, 10 years ago, 2014. And I just want to read it again because I see snippets of it gradually taking shape, and I mean, I just want to read it. I read it, and then you listen to it yourself. All right. So this is a 1968 prophecy by a 90-year-old Norwegian old woman, and okay, the intro says an old woman of 90 from Valdres in Norway had a vision from God in 1968. The evangelist Emmanuel Minos had meetings where she lived. He had opportunity to meet her, and she told him what she had seen. He wrote it down, but thought it to be so unintelligible that he put it in a drawer. And 30 years later, so that was 1998, he now saw the need to talk about it. So this is an old document, and now he understands that he had to share the vision. So this was in 98 that shared it. The woman from Valdres was a very alert, reliable, awake, and credible Christian with a good reputation among all who knew her. This is what she saw. I saw the time just before the coming of the Lord and the outbreak of the World War, Third World War. I saw the events with my natural eyes. I saw the world like a kind of globe, and saw Europe land by land. I saw Scandinavia, I saw Norway, I saw certain things that would take place just before the return of Jesus, just before the calamity happens, a calamity like the likes which we have never before experienced. So she mentioned four waves, four things. One, before the world war and before Jesus comes, there will be like a peace. I mean, she used the word dente. Dente is like, so peace, like, huh? We've never had before. There will be peace between the superpowers in the East and the West, and there will be a long peace. Now, remember, this was in 1968, when the Cold War was at its highest. So, in this period of peace, there will be disarmament. So, then, that's the, you know, we've had Soviets, now Cold War, this, all these things. So there was a long peace, just as she said. So it goes on to say that also in Norway we are not prepared. So the pastor wrote into brackets, remember that this was in 1968 when the Cold War was at its highest. So this bracket closed, this is what the pastor commented on when the woman talked about the long peace. In this period of peace, there will be disarmament in many countries, also in Norway, and we are not prepared when the war comes. The Third World War will begin in a way no one would have anticipated, from an unexpected place. So, you know, since the end of the Cold War, it's been quite a significant time, long, the Cold War peace, end of the Cold War. So the world has been at, of course, not absolute peace, but he was talking of the East and the West, the peace, and that one indeed has happened. Until this sudden recent Russia revival of the tension between the East and the West again. So technically, the number one, we've seen this happen. Now the second one says, a lukewarmness without parallel will take hold of Christians, a falling away from the true living Christianity. Christians will not be open for penetrating preaching. They will not, like in earlier times, want to hear of sin and grace, the law and gospel, repentance and restoration. There will come a substitute instead, prosperity and happiness Christianity. It goes on to say that the important thing will be to have success, to be something, to have material things, things that God never promised us in this way. Churches and prayer houses will be emptier and emptier. Instead of the preaching we have been used to for generations, like to take your cross up and follow Jesus, entertainment, art, and culture will invade the churches where there should have been gatherings for repentance and revival. This will increase remarkably just before the coming of Christ. And indeed, in Europe, churches have closed several. I mean, if you watch some of the BBC and other network, the reports on churches that have closed across Europe is pathetic. It's in the hundreds, if not in the thousands, several churches closed. And that's in the churches are emptier and emptier, just as she said. So technically, yes, the second one too is fulfilled. Then we go to the third, where it says, there will be a moral disintegration that old Norway has never experienced of the likes of people who live together with, I mean, like married without being married. And I do not believe in the concept of cohabitation. So much uncleanness before marriage and much infidelity in marriage will become the natural, or that's the common, and it will be justified from every angle. It will even enter Christian circles. Indeed, it has happened, and we will pet it. If even sin against nature, just before Jesus will return, there will be TV programs like we have never experienced before. And then the pastor commented that TV had just arrived in Norway in 1968. So that's the comment on the pastor. What the pastor said, comment on it, then goes on to say that TV will be filled with such horrible violence that it teaches people how to murder and destroy each other. It will be unsafe in our streets. People will copy what they see. There will not be only one station or channel, I mean, on TV. It will be filled with stations. I mean, into bracket, the pastor commented, she did not know the word channel, which we use today. Therefore, she called them stations. And then he continues, TV will be just like the radio, where we have many stations, and it will be filled with violence. People will use it for entertainment. We will see terrible scenes of murder and destruction, one after the other, and this will spread in society. Sex scenes will also be shown on the screen, the most intimate things that takes place in marriage. Then the pastor comments on it again, brackets, I protested and said, we have a paragraph that forbids this kind of thing, that's in our laws. And continues, there the old woman said, it will happen and you will see it. All we have had before will be broken down, and most indecent things will pass before our eyes. Indeed, it has happened. Now the fourth and the last, goes on to say that people from poor countries will stream to Europe. interesting. Are we not seeing it? The migration. Look at the, if you watch the news, the migration into Europe and to America from the southern border is something. Now, this year's America's election is going to be the biggest thing, because the migration, the southern border migration, and what Europe is also experiencing is, and that's exactly what this woman saw. So people from poor countries will stream into Europe and then into black. The pastor commented, in 1968, there was no such thing as immigration. Then they will also come to Scandinavia and Norway. There will be so many of them that people will begin to dislike them and become hard with them. They will be treated like the Jews before the Second World War. Then the full measure of our sins will have been reached. Then the pastor comments again, I protested at the issue of immigration. I did not understand it at that time. Then the tears streamed from the old woman's eyes down her cheeks. Then quotes, I will not see it, but you will. Then suddenly, Jesus will come. Okay, then so the world war, and then Jesus will come, and then it will be a short war. Then goes on to say, all that I have seen of war before is only child's play compared to this one, and it will be ended with a nuclear atomic bomb. The air will be so polluted that one cannot draw one's breath. It will cover several continents, America, Japan, Australia, all the, you know, the wealthy nations. The water will be ruined, contaminated. We can no longer till the soil. The result will be that only a remnant will remain. The remnants in the wealthy countries will try to flee to the poor countries. But they will be as hard on us as we were on them. Hey, I'm so glad that I will not see it. But when the time draws near, you must take courage and tell this. I have received it from God, and nothing of it goes against what the Bible tells us. The one who has his sin forgiven and has Jesus as Savior and Lord is safe. You know, when you see the migration happening in Europe now, where in Norway in particular, I mean, let me talk of Norway, where this woman talked of Norway. Norway used to be one of the most, you know, if you talk of peaceful, crime, almost crime-free zones. I mean, Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. But now, crime has started. When the immigrants got there, a lot of the Arab guys, Northern Africans, and, you know, they are pushing their, you know, agenda. You know, girls will be walking on the streets, they will be threatening them that they should, you know, go back and dress well. And it's something, their culture, the whole country is... It's now something, because these people have come in their numbers. See, so just as the woman said, now the citizens are getting agitated, you know. So, and it's not only Norway, various countries. I mean, France this week, is it this week or last week? They had to, one imam was, I mean, deported to Tunisia, and this imam has been in France from age 12 to now 52 years, so 40 years, but. They deported him when he said the France flag is satanic. You know, so it's like now they are getting fed up in France now, in Paris and some other cities and towns. There are portions where the police cannot even go because it's purely like Sharia zone, you know, where the police are even afraid to go there. I mean, that's how serious it is in parts of Europe now. So this woman's vision... It's exactly the reality that we have on the ground. But then, the reason why I talked about this is, you know, is we are seeing it in the news. We are seeing these things in the news and all that. But then, the way there's been a number of prophecies about the coming revival, the coming wave of God, and the shake-up in the church, because... See, for the revival to really be effective, the church as it is now needs some, largely needs some shaking, because the current church, largely, I don't mean all, but I mean largely, the church needs to wake up, because the church is just not ready for a revival. The church has become too lukewarm, too carnal, largely. So the shaking is coming. And I remember last year, I heard a number of respected prophets talk about that God is going to start disgracing and exposing things in the church this year. And we started seeing things. You know, when the BBC report came out right in January, I wasn't shocked. I mean, there we go, it has started. And the last few days and weeks, I've been hearing some things, seeing some reports and things. And more is coming, because you see, when the warnings come and the people don't repent, God will still act. And you see, God is going to bring these shakings into the system. I saw one pastor in the US, the news just I was coming, he's resigning as a head of a church because of adultery. You see, so we are going to start seeing, just as the prophecy said, I mean, like from some respected prophets, that a shaking is coming. God is going to shake his church once more. Because you see, unfortunately, let me put it this way. A lot of men of God have been acting as if the church is their church. I mean, it's like it's theirs, so they can do whatever they want. But the church is supposed to be Christ's. He is the overall head of the church. You see, so he's taking his rightful place, and he will not look on. He's been quiet and looked on for a whole lot of mess to happen, things to happen. But the shaking is coming. And if the shaking is coming, we down there should also put our house in order to avoid falling into the shaking. Oh yes, for the shaking is coming. If you let me read from Peter, where it says 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So the judgment there is going to start from the house of God. And this judgment is not after rapture type of, this is the shakings that will happen before Christ even comes. And we are going to start seeing these shakings, because God will have to shake the church, bring these judgments into the church, else people are just being misled into deception and into hell. Because you see, if God doesn't shake the system, the mess will worsen and it will continue. And it's still going to go on though, but then those who still want to correct and fall in line will fall in line, and those who want to still do whatever will still do whatever. But at least God wants to save as many as possible. And that's why these shakings are necessary, and it's going to happen. And that we are entering the season where repentance is going to be necessary. The church we have to get into the season of repentance. And interestingly, next month, April 8th, there's going to be a total eclipse in the US. Interestingly, I mean, God does his own things in a way that you can never understand, because he's a supreme and sovereign God. The eclipse will be passing through towns in the US where the name is Nineveh. And if you know the story of Jonah, Nineveh and repentance, you know, these are symbolic things. God does things to wake up the church. Anyone who understands how God does some of his things, when you hear that the eclipse itself is a coded message, when it's a lunar eclipse, it's a coded message, when it's a solar eclipse, it's a coded message. And normally it's believed that it's a judgment. When it's a lunar, it's more of Israel. When it's a solar, it's the world. So when you have a total solar eclipse passing through the US, and it's passing through towns that are called Nineveh, not just one town, by a number of towns that are called Nineveh, the same name Nineveh. You don't need any prophetic insight to understand that it's time to repent. You see, and this is, should not be seen as this is America alone should repent. The whole world, churches, we need Christians. Repentance is something which is time we look at it critically. Because you see, the church largely has been sleeping. And we need to wake up and realize that the season has changed. I mean, as the time, God willing, gets closer, we'll talk more about April 1, because a number of things will happen in April, a number of celestial activities, some of the planets are going to line up. I mean, serious, April has some very strange cosmic activities, and those are all important things. God speaks to us through these things as well. I mean, if you read Genesis chapter 1, I hope I'm right, Genesis, let me just get there, Genesis 1:14 or something. Okay, all right, okay, so Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for, number one, signs, S-I-G-N-S, signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. So the number one purpose for the sun, the stars, the moon, is for signs, signage, signboard, giving us directions. That's the first assignment for these things, before even the seasons, the days, and the calendar things follows. So all through the years, God has been using these things to communicate. So that's why you just can't ignore such major warnings, coded messages from God. Because, I mean, for an eclipse, solar eclipse to happen, for it to pass through a number of towns, all called Nineveh, alone should wake up any sleeping Christian that know it's time to repent. Oh yes. And this is not a US alone, as I said. This is a global thing, a world, because solar, the sun message is for the world. And I believe we don't need to wait till then before you say, okay, I'm not going to repent. We have to start assessing ourselves, and we have to change our ways. We have to start. I mean, it's just a necessity, because the way the system, the church is going, and Christians are just living carelessly as if there's nothing at stake, it's just unfortunate. But this is a wake up call that we should wake up to, the realization that, you see, the devil has played a smart game on believers, some believers, where we've been conditioned to accept the lukewarm status as okay and it's normal. So we are comfortable with our lukewarm status, we are comfortable with our secret sins, we are comfortable with our careless living, as if, well, now the new standard of Christianity is you can sin and then you can still call yourself a Christian comfortably, and the two go hand in hand and it's accepted. But, you know, clearly there should be a divide. There should be a divide. If we are crucified in Christ, then there should be a divide. We cannot continue the same low standard Christianity endlessly. There must be an end point where we say enough is enough. We want to really stand for Christ, live for Christ, demarcate the line is drawn that we are Christians and we stand as Christians. For a lot of believers now, it's more of one leg in the world, one leg in the church. And that's very unfortunate. But we should condition ourselves that we cannot go on with this formula all the time. No, a shaking is coming. A revival is coming. And we should put ourselves in line to be in this revival. It should not be seen that the shaking comes and we are part of those that the shaking affects negatively. It shouldn't be. See, God gives room for repentance to correct ourselves. So you see, when he gives warnings, like I'm talking about these coded messages that is coming through the eclipse and all that, Nineveh is a clear message of repentance. I mean, it's an obvious one. So we should start considering that we should put our house in order and move away from the low standard Christianity to a life and a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. And I believe that is what is most important in these times. The program Issues of Life, I'm Eben, and I believe you've been blessed this evening. This has been recorded. It will be on the website as well. So good night, spiritissues.info. That's the website, and I'll put it in the Telegram as well, Spirit Issues. Alright, so good night, and God bless you, and thank God for this evening. Good night.